It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Just yesterday morning, they let me know you were gone. Suzanne, the plans they made put an end to you. I walked out this morning and I wrote down this song. I just can't remember who to send it to. I've seen fire and I've seen rain.
Okay, I know Courtney said she loves James Taylor,
I've seen
but please,
sunny days
can we,
that a
enough,
would never
Sean, enough, please.
Sweet baby James.
Please.
I mean,
James Taylor. If you haven't seen James Taylor, you haven't been to a Red Sox game. He's available whenever they ask.
Hey, guess what? We finally found someone too white for Greg.
He has a great Christmas album, too.
Yes, he does.
Yeah.
Yes. And he's been seen more recently than our president. We are, by the way, Curtis.
Yes.
Some thank yous in order at the third annual Numbnuts Invitational, including Quincy's Finest.
Unbelievable.
We got something for James here. We can show that on Twitch. We got a cool patch. And Wiggy, you got one too with the Patriots logo.
Yeah, always. So,
want to thank the Quincy guys for coming by, saying hello this morning. And with us, my guy Will O'Connell, one of the owners here at Granite Links. Will, thanks for having us.
What's up, Greg? Hi, team.
Hi.
We're delighted to be here again. I don't understand why you allow us to come back. It's one of the confusing things.
You haven't been kicked out yet.
No, but we're glad that we raised a ton of money for the foundation by doing it this way this year. And thanks for having us. And the course looks beautiful. And
so does that head of hair. My goodness.
Yeah, he's got a good head of hair.
I'm very envious.
Should see both my sons here.
Yeah.
Even better.
Oh, wow.
And your son's big listeners of the show.
When we drive to school, yep.
Am I right about that?
Wiggy's their favorite.
What up?
That's what everybody says. Yep.
Wiggy show.
Well, we really appreciate you. And if you're a great place to have an event, or you guys are always open to weddings and company outings and all that stuff here.
Yeah, we make golf fun up here at Granite Links.
Good.
We appreciate the partnership with you, your team, the foundation, all of it. Today's a good day, and it's a packed place, and the rain stayed away, and this is really, really cool. I've never seen your team in action. I've only been listening to you.
You probably thought it was more complicated, really.
This is as simple as it gets, but there's a reason why you guys are so good at what you do.
Oh.
And you're taking over, and keep going, being number one. We're all big fans of yours, and the partnership we have here at Granite Links with you. Just don't get kicked out. And I am going to work on Wiggy. He wanted to find out about the waiting list.
Yes.
You were on the list for like 15 minutes, Wiggy, to be truthful with Greg.
How long is the waiting list?
Right now, we have over 300 people trying to get in.
Wow.
Membership is full.
Yeah.
You cannot get into the place, but we have a private membership, but also we're open to the public.
Yeah, so you can come here and play golf.
Absolutely.
You want.
Yeah.
And hit the range and go to, I've said it before, I would say Crossing Nine's arguably one of the best outdoor bar areas in the U.S. So, and this place on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday night, Saturday afternoon, it's a blast.
It's awesome. Like, as someone who doesn't have a lot of fun, the range here, I live in South Boston, all the people that are in the Boston area, you think you have to go all the way out, you know, to the burbs to go get into a good driving range, whatever. It's great. Even if not everybody golfs,
right. Yeah.
They bring food. Yeah. You got the range. You've got the bar right there. The food's awesome. And you have the best view of Boston around.
Yeah. And Greg brought up weddings. I went to my first wedding here a few months ago, and we were in the ballroom. Unbelievable.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
Is it brand new?
Yeah,
it looks.
We did it.
Oh, my God.
Courtney renews her vows every time.
No, I don't. So it's probably but I am a tough critic when it comes to wedding venues, and that is unbelievable.
Yeah, it's good.
Really, really pretty.
Yeah, the team deserves all the credit up here. Yeah. Really, really great team. Yeah.
Well, thanks for having us.
I got a surprise for you.
Oh. Uh-oh.
So one of our partners, Walter Hannon, wanted to get you something for celebrating your 5 years.
Oh.
And he's mailing it up
Look
right
at
now.
That.
Wow.
Oh, right there.
It's a fifth birthday cake for the show.
Oh,
wow. Happy that birthday to
nice.
You and your team.
Oh, happy
unbelievable.
Birthday.
Some suggested we wouldn't last 5 days, Curtis.
Oh, I thought the ship was sinking.
Yes, what happened to sinkingship.com?
Oh, wow. Man.
I'm going to take a photo. Look at that. That's that is gorgeous. Awesome.
Congratulations, team.
You know what? In many ways, Greg, the statement is so accurate. Revenge is actually sweet.
I mean, that's a fantastic cake.
I know.
It's a nice cake ball. Yeah, whoever did that.
All the miserable a-holes. Look at the size of that cake.
That's a great
pretty
cake.
Cool.
Greg, you'll only be able to have like a little nibble of that.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Right. No, Shime took it to go.
Shime, we'll save you a piece. Do you want to save a piece or no?
No, I'm good. Thanks, though. I appreciate it.
All right. Well, thanks for having us.
Thank you very much. Right. Congratulations on all your success,
Walter.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. And we can't wait for today, and we'll do it again next year.
Love
I'm
it.
Getting your commitment on the air right now.
Right.
We're doing it.
Consider it done.
All right.
Before we ruin the course.
Yeah. Before we get out there and ruin the course. All right. The number to call if you want to be on this morning is 617-779-7937. If you prefer to text, you can text on the Subaru of New England text line, which is 37937. And certainly it appears I am outnumbered this morning when it comes to my concern about Matthew Judon. Curtis, I don't know. I don't know.
I'm not nervous now.
Never nervous, Courtney.
Always Curtis, nervous, Courtney.
Curtis Wiggy Shine says you just pay him whatever he wants.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe Kraft would have to sell one of his penthouse apartments in Boston. Oh, no, the horror. That's, I mean, I feel like the organization is really on the precipice of being a punchline. Like, I don't think Matthew Judon's going to be the answer to make this team a Super Bowl contender, but you paid everybody this offseason. You paid Onwenu. You paid David Andrews. You paid Ramondre Stevenson. You paid Barmore. Why wouldn't you pay Matthew Judon? He's one of the most effective players at one of the most premium positions in the sport, which is pass rusher.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be playing Aaron Rodgers, Josh Allen, Tua. You're playing Joe Burrow week one coming off an injury. Wouldn't you want to have Matthew Judon on the field for that?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just the principle of the thing for me, I guess. But it doesn't – I mean, Wiggy says it doesn't matter.
Well, what if you signed a contract with the company?
Yeah.
And the company wasn't forced to hold up their end, but you were forced to hold up yours. Would you sign that?
That's kind of the case.
No, it's not.
I mean, it is.
It is kind of the case.
Yeah,
isn't. So they can't fire Greg today and not have to pay him his money?
No, in your contract, there's always some type of – they cover their butts to make sure that they can do that. That's the fact with any contract. In your contract, it says somewhere, you know, if you do something bad, we can fire you.
Right, but Matthew Judon hasn't done anything bad.
No.
And they could release him and not owe him the full value of the draft.
But they can always have some type of – there's loopholes to everything. So
but
I think that's just the fact
of
the contract.
But they don't exist in hockey, basketball. In baseball.
All I'm saying is they could get rid of Greg if they wanted. They never would. But Greg could not go to Mike Thomas tomorrow and say, hey, I know that we just came to a conclusion on what I'm making. I would actually like more now.
He could.
He could. It would be up to the company.
Okay, but I wouldn't. Because I was happy when I signed my contract.
But if you had the leverage.
You don't even get paid.
If you were in a business that you knew where you had a small window to maximize your leverage and where you were, if the radio business was only a 10-year career, maybe you would do that.
I'm not blaming Matt Judon for doing it, but at the same time, you have to understand where Greg is coming from. Like, this is the real world. Right. Whether you're a professional athlete or not,
it's cool for the company just to come to you after they sign the contract and go, you know what, we know you got 2 years left on your deal. We don't want to pay those, so we're going to release you.
Yeah, I don't think it's cool, but I think that's the way the world works.
Okay, so that's the way the you know how the world works? When you have the leverage, right. You go, I don't like the way my contract is.
Well, who's signing the checks?
But let's just...
So who has the leverage?
You're jumping on both sides of the fence.
No, I'm really not. I'm just saying
You just literally said, if they come to you and say, we know you have 2 years left on your deal, but we're cutting you, you just go... You just said to me, that's the way the world works.
It is.
And in this world, when you're talented and you have the ability, even though you signed the contract and you know you're outperforming it, you can hold out and ask for more because that's the way the world works.
It's probably like old man screaming at clouds, but it never used to happen here.
It happened with Ty Law. They didn't want to pay Ty Law. I think he was due to make 12 million.
He told the story on the show. He got a check out of Belichick that he wanted to get because Belichick was holding out on paying him, but like a workout.
No. I'm talking about at the end. He was supposed to make like 12 million, and we'll ask Ty, and they didn't want to pay him that money because they felt he wasn't that type of player no more.
And so just an example, we use it because it just fits this. Kyle Van Noy signed a 5-year deal with the Miami Dolphins for like $55 million. He was cut after 1 year.
Yeah.
And was only paid the guaranteed portion of the contract. You, Greg, with the show doing what it's been doing, extended a year before your contract was set to expire because you knew that the company needed you. The company wanted to ensure that they had you for the long term to maintain relationships with great clients like Granite Links. And so they did it. Whoever has the leverage is always going to use it. Matthew Judon has maybe 2 to 3 more years where he can earn generational money. Robert Kraft and his family will own the team in perpetuity. So that's why he has to do it now.
They did it for him last year. They've already done it for him.
Right, and he's exceeded what he was initially offered. He was being paid $15 million a year, and he was leading the NFL in sacks.
Yeah, but he's hurt. He got hurt.
Tom Brady was a sixth-round pick. He, in his first year playing, won a Super Bowl. They redid his contract because he was no longer...
Yeah, but Tom Brady didn't demand it. They went to Tom Brady.
Well, that's because Tom Brady, that wasn't his personality.
But I don't think he would have played on his rookie deal.
Right. And like Fat Joe said, yesterday's price is not today's price.
Right,
Matthew Judon knows that, hey, listen.
Wait, was that Fat Joe who said that?
Fat Joe said it.
Yeah, it was actually the Gettysburg Address.
like even in this business, right? Yeah. You look at if you're performing.
Just call him Joe? That's kind of.
Well, he is kind of skinny now. But even in like this business, you just signed the contract, Courtney.
Yeah, long-term lucrative.
And now if
I saw that company Benz. Well done.
If the ratings continue to grow and you're like, oh, wait a second, I know I got this deal, you're probably looking for, all right, after a year, year and a half, you're probably like, all right, I'm ready for this thing to be up because I know.
Maybe I structured my deal correctly.
Well, you might have, but in the world of this business, we kind of know how the contracts go.
Yeah, we all get shafted. It's just how bad.
It's similar in the NFL. It's not like other sports when, you know, if they gave Matthew Judon $60 million, no matter what, he makes it. Like Jason Tatum signed
Wiggy, you were the most patriot of all patriots. Does it bother you even a tiny little bit that he is on social media liking posts in which somebody is saying he should be traded? Does that bother you at all?
No, because
it doesn't?
No, because I know as a former...
You would never have done that.
Because I wasn't in that position. If I was good enough to that level, I would have did that. Like Rob Gronkowski said it best. If you want money from New England, you have to hold out. If you want money from a lot of these teams and you're at that level, you have to hold out. If I was at that level, I would have been like, I'm not playing. Why run the risk? Why run the risk of me going out there and playing on a franchise tackle?
You just don't seem like that's the way you would have conducted yourself.
If I was at that level, I would have.
And that's a compliment to you.
No, because I wasn't at that level.
I think you were at that level.
No. I wish I was at that level.
I think you were at that level.
But even in every other field, not just sports, like the budget, that goes till the final second before it's approved. Union contracts. All over the place. The only time the laborer has power is when they withhold the labor.
Right.
Yeah.
And they never even have, even to that point, they never have power because, Cordy, we just talked about you and your new contract. What does every company, organization, anything want to do when it comes to their employees? Do they ever want to give them the value that they're worth?
No.
Exactly.
Michael got rewarded with the Burlington Coat Factory jacket.
Where players will take... They say, here's what I believe my value is. Please pay me that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You all brought right. up Kyle Van Noy. Was he the worst Hillman Jenks, you think?
Oh, my God.
He was on next day, yeah. out of town.
No, people have died. Look at the trophy for the tournament.
Oh, wow. That should be for the loser.
Hold that up. Look at that.
Wow.
Look at this.
Look, Mom, I made it.
Look at Num Nuts.
That's gorgeous.
If you're watching the show on Twitch, and you should be, or you're watching it on YouTube, then you could take a look at the trophies that our winners will go home with today.
Ken got me this in lieu of a pay raise.
It's Lucite. All right. We're at Granite Links for the third annual Numbnuts Invitational, and here is Courtney with what is trending this hour.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Timeout Market Boston. The Sox fell to the Rockies last night, 9-8 in 12 innings. Tanner Houck got the start and went 6 innings, where he gave up 4 runs on 10 hits while striking out 2. That's the second time you've knocked over that trophy, Curtis.
If you
drop it and the head smashes, I will...
Well, that is a sign.
Another one with the Rockies tonight, 8:40 first pitch with Cooper Criswell taking the mound. You can hang out with Rich Keith at 7:40 for the MassMutual pregame show. Then Will Fleming and Lou Maloney have the call on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network.
Right, it wouldn't be the first time I was smashed at Granite Links.
Right here on EEI and, as always, on the Odyssey app. LeBron James led Team USA to another comeback win, 92-88 against Germany in London. He finished with 20 points, 6 rebounds, and 4 assists. The Olympics starts Friday. Opening ceremony is at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And experience the essence of Boston's culinary and cultural scene at Time Out Market Boston. Nestled in the Fenway, from live music sessions to food and beverage tastings and everything in between, Time Out Market Boston showcases the best of the city under one roof. That is what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. 71 degrees, cloudy skies, afternoon high around 80.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Granite Links in Quincy, where the third annual Numbnuts Invitational will tee off beginning. Some of the golfers are already out there. So we're underway here. Our tournament to honor the legend of Chris Curtis, Numbnuts.
Thank you.
And to raise money for the Greg Hill Foundation. Speaking of you, was it Saturday that I heard you and Scheim talking about training camp, which begins tomorrow?
Talking ball.
Our long national nightmare, which is the nearly 5 months without football, ends tomorrow.
Thank God.
And you were talking about the expectation this season and the fact that you're really – there's no Bill Belichick and there's no Tom Brady.
Yeah.
What is your real expectation, which I thought was an interesting question.
And it's Scheim's first – training camp as basically a sentient human. How old were you, Scheim, in 2000?
In 2000, I was 8.
Right. So basically, since Scheim has been a wee lad, this is the first time neither Bill nor Tom are at training camp. And
same with you.
Me too, yeah.
And that is an unbelievable thing. It's a full generation without, where you've had those two guys here. And it is a fascinating study, I think, of what the crowds are going to be like at training camp this year, because I don't know. You know, it's going to be full, pretty full every year because it's free and it's, you know,
it's going to be packed. It's going
to
be packed.
I mean, yeah, that's a thing that. That a lot of parents take the kids to because there's no school.
But I don't.
But it wasn't as crowded last year.
Right, but that's why I think Drake may add some flash. Like, people are just going to want to see first impressions of him, and I think that Jerod Mayo, people are going to want to see what he's like out there. And that's why we had a big argument last week about Bill Belichick putting butts in seats.
Right.
And Shime and I were saying, yeah, I mean, maybe the initial appeal of Bill Belichick coming to a team is great, but will they actually end up being, will it be sustainable? Will people continue to care because it's just Bill Belichick as the head coach? Like, I don't think that. I think it all reflects off the players. If the players are flashy, are people that people want to buy jerseys for, then that's what gets butts in seats. So I think that Drake May alone is going to bring a lot of interest to training camp.
I mean, really. Winning is what puts butts in seats. I mean, Bill didn't put butts in seats last year.
Right. That was me and Shime's argument with them.
Yeah. Right.
Well, so at the end of the day, I mean, it's like, okay, the interest level is going to be there, but you're talking about Bill last year. Like, Bill had ran his course. It's like Brady in training camp. I know Curtis talks about.
Right.
We had gotten to a point now where we were used to going to training camp and not seeing number 12 there because we had done it for the past, you know, four or five, however long it's been.
Right.
So now this year, the interest level is going to be there because, okay, we no longer are going to see Bill Belichick. Okay, what does Jerod Mayo look like? We're scrutinizing everything. Like, I even hear Grecian Foyer, they're scrutinized the time he starts practice at 11 o'clock, you know, like, that's something new.
Can we do something about Gresh and Mayo? Like, can they meet? Can they have makeup sex?
Well,
like, what is going on?
But Gresh tends to lean in the direction that I lean in, which is that he has never been a head coach before, and you were willing to, and whatever, decisions made, so I'm not going to whine about it, but you're willing to say goodbye to the greatest to ever do it, so you better have full confidence that the guy's going to be pretty close at some point.
Right, and everything's going to be scrutinized. Like, everything.
It should be, though.
Yeah, and I agree with that. Everything, like everything Mayo's going to down, like, oh, he walks different than Bill walked on the field. Like, you know, so.
Right. He took the players off of an OTA practice to do something in the community. The audacity.
And I get that. I think, for me, the interesting part is going to be to see some of the things that he does, obviously, as a head coach, just, you know, and what's different than Bill, but we'll really not know. And I think, Greg, you brought up this point a while ago. We won't really know until we get in game action.
Yeah.
And there's like, okay, the decision he made here on fourth down, the decision he made on, you know, on this third and five situation, that's when we'll really scrutinize. For me, when I look at training camp, I'm looking at one thing, and that is Drake May. That's the
only thing you care about.
That, to me, is the most important thing with training camp this year, is what does Drake May look like? Where are the reps he's getting? Is he running with the ones? Is he running with the twos? How many reps is he getting with the ones? How many reps is he getting with the twos? Like, those, to me, are the most important things, because everything else, defense, I think they'll be fine. Everything else is kind of like, I'm cool with. What are they doing with Drake May? I want to see him day one taking 90% of the reps with the ones.
And I think that's what most of the fan base wants. Even the ones that say that, like, oh, well, I don't want what happened to Mac Jones to happen to Drake May. We need to constantly be reminding people that when Mac Jones was thrown into that as a rookie, it was the best he looked. So doing that to him was not what made him bad. It's just not.
What the guy that everybody seems to love now is why he was bad. But
please with that.
Bill Belichick did everything he could to ruin Mac Jones.
Oh, or Mac Jones was just bad.
Right.
Well, both can be true.
Yeah. Fair.
You can be bad. I mean, some quarterbacks can't be ruined. Some people are made better because of it.
Bill had a hand in Mac's, obviously, failures.
I would also say this.
Mac, being a millennial, had a hand, and he couldn't handle the way Bill coached him. So, and then...
That's true. I mean,
the man, no disrespect, but he had to do breathing exercises to get through the day. I mean,
which is fine.
Right. That would be like you hiring Wiggy to teach you how to drive properly. Like,
I'm actually a pretty good driver.
You are, but you're not very kind to other drivers, and I love that. But just to go back to the coaching and, you know, Gerard Mayo being under the microscope, don't you think the viewpoint of training camp would be different if Jim Harbaugh was the next coach?
Yes. Yeah.
So that, like, that is the buy-in of the fan base. While that wouldn't sustain if they sucked.
Right.
Bill Belichick came in and they lost. They won three fewer games than they did with Pete Carroll in Pete Carroll's final year.
Yeah.
In 1999, they were 8-8. In 2000, they were 5-11. Nobody said Bill should be fired after year one. They knew it was a process. But I don't believe Gerard Mayo will be afforded much of that with the fan base. I think there's a lot of people like Gresh and Greg that are mad about how Belichick was treated. And will be looking to blame Mayo when it's not really their anger at Mayo, it's their anger at Kraft.
I think the
because you've now created two question marks at the most important spots on the football field. So if you minus what we saw Mac Jones become, what he was, whatever, wouldn't you if you had a choice and he said, we drafted this quarterback, his name is Mac Jones, he comes from Alabama, and he can be either coached by a head coach who is Bill Belichick or Gerard Mayo, wouldn't you have chosen Bill Belichick 10 out of 10 times?
Up until recently, yes. Right. Knowing what I know now, I would not have Bill Belichick coach a rookie quarterback at this stage of his career.
Especially a rookie like Mac Jones.
Right.
You know, there are some rookies that, you know.
Like, I think he'd be great at coaching Burrow.
He would have been great with Trevor Lawrence.
Right, but there are some, but Mac Jones ain't built that way. So, and here's the other thing, Greg, to that, to kind of that point a little bit, is. And this is where we talk about butts and seats with coaches. Imagine if Mike Vrabel's the head coach of this football team and what that would look like. And
there'd be no questions whatsoever about the coaching of the football
team. And I think there's going to be a lot of buzz around Mayo, but a guy like Mike Vrabel, because he's done it before, it would be through the roof. But for me, I don't like – that's not an issue for me. Like, Gerard Mayo, first-year head coach, I got no issues with that. I don't subscribe to that because look at all the successful first-year head coaches that we've seen in the league, especially nowadays. It's like that's just the way the league is. I mean, guys come in, whether it's a Mike McDaniel, first-year head coach, whether it's a D'Amico Ryans, first-year head coach, these guys just come in, and that's the way they hire coaches nowadays. You don't see many recycling of head coaches no more. But to me, the most important thing of this whole training
except camp, in Brockton.
You know, it wasn't, put it like this, in Brockton, I think it was a little bit more of the off-the-field stuff.
It was the politics.
The politics played a big hand into that.
They weren't high on Wiggy's approach.
And then the guy who hired me, they let him go real quick, so it was like, I was now coaching for another.
Wait, so not only did you lose your job, but you cost somebody their job?
No. The guy who hired me, he got fired well before me for money disappearing. But they actually guess what?
What?
They actually found that money.
They did?
Oh, yes.
Where was it?
Very quiet. Nobody heard about that.
Where did they find the money?
They found it where it was in the budget, going to the schools. I don't know, but it is what it is. They hired a new guy there that I have.
Wait, so they have the money or they spent it improperly?
No, they spent it properly.
It reappeared the next morning.
The money was all spent properly. Mm-hmm. I think he was just a fall guy for, you know, whatever it is over there. But I don't know enough about that. That's above my pay grade.
This is Nate. Nate, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey.
Hey, you guys are you're showing and you're making it. I think what has happened is the bar has been set so high, just like Tom did, and whoever came in after the fact, being Cam Newton and even, you know, Mac Jones, it was so far seated that they were never going to, you know, get to that bar. It's the same thing with Bill, okay? But even with Mayo, you know, the thing I think they're knocking Mayo with also, too, is the fact that he was never given, you know, a head or a coaching name or title. Bill didn't give him that. I know, Wiggy, you're always talking about D'Amico Ryans and these other, you know, head coaches. But those other coaches that came from the McVay tree and all that, they actually had titles, okay? Like, Bill spoon-fed, you know, Mayo. He spoon-fed him. I mean, and we don't really know what, you know, Mayo really is until, like you said, come this season. And it's going to be tough for him with a rookie quarterback. Plus, you know, we don't know what we have in these draft picks. And, you know what I mean, guys previous, you know, they signed with Stevenson and all these other guys. You know what I mean? He's trying to put it together. I think he's going to have some hard times of growing pains before he actually can actually make that leap because of the fact of being spoon-fed by Bill.
Yeah.
Yeah, but everybody's spoon-fed. How come Brian Flores didn't have that issue? Is he still there or is he gone?
No, he's gone.
You know, so
Bill O'Brien was okay without Bill.
Yeah, I don't subscribe to the experience. Okay, I get it. And maybe you know some things and you've learned in the past. But think about all the coaches or the majority of coaches that we feel like are successful in the NFL right now. Other than Andy Reid, who would you have up like successful coaches?
John Harbaugh.
Was he a head coach before he got his head coaching gig?
No, he was the special teams coordinator.
Right.
For the
Eagles. Who else do you think is a good coach right now?
Sean McVay.
Was he a head coach before?
He was a coordinator, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was never a head coach.
Yeah, right, but he was never a head coach. Yeah,
he coached Wiggy.
But the point that the caller was making was Mayo wasn't even a coordinator. I
mean, but we all thought he was a coordinator just without the title. What's the title? The title is what? A placard on your desk or on your door? So when you start to – Mike McDaniels, we think he's a head coach?
Yeah.
A good head coach? He wasn't. I mean,
is he a good head coach? I mean,
he wasn't even calling plays in San Francisco.
Yeah, I know. He was like a ball boy.
Kyle Shanahan.
Run game coordinator.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. So I don't subscribe. That's why when people say they, like, other than Andy Reid, who's a successful head coach, what other, that was a head coach prior to getting the Kansas City job, what other guys nowadays, just the way the NFL, the hiring process goes, are guys that have been successful head coaches?
Right. The only one that comes to mind this coaching cycle that was recycled is Jim Harbaugh, who was with the Niners, then went, you know, went to Michigan and then came back.
Right, right. But you know, and then he went to college for a while. And you're right, Curtis. But think about that. Who,
right.
The ones that usually are recycled head coaches, they're the ones that ain't very good. Whether it's Boomer's boy, Frank Wright.
Yikes.
You know, I'll give Doug Peterson – the jury might still be a little bit out on him. But
his seat is hot this year in Jacksonville.
Right. So when you think about the recycled head coaches,
right,
those guys aren't doing well when they go for their second opportunity. That's why I'm not subscribing to Mayo's not going to be good just because he didn't have the title on his door, defensive coordinator. That doesn't mean anything.
I mean, Dan Campbell, I'd put him in that category.
Right. Yeah,
he was never a head coach before.
But wouldn't we also be sitting here, like, if Gerard Mayo was, instead of doing things differently, was trying to be Bill in the way he conducts practice and the way he does the OTAs, wouldn't the complaint be Bill's act has failed when everybody else has tried to resemble it?
Yep.
So why is he trying to do what Patricia and Mangini and all these guys that have failed do? He's being his own man. Who knows? I mean, he might fail. I have no
idea. Who the hell knows?
But at least he's trying something different.
And that's a good point, Curtis, because we always say the problem with these coaches is they try to be too much like Bill, and then the players look at them and go, wait a second.
Like Joe Judge.
Yeah, or Matt Patricia, like you brought up in Detroit. They start looking at him. The media start looking at him like when Matt Patricia's like, hey, sit down and, you know, make sure you got an eraser for that pencil. And so Mayo's doing
sit up straight.
You know, Mayo's doing things different. Practice starts at 11. He's giving maybe the players a little bit more flexibility that we didn't see from Bill. Maybe these guys are willing to say, okay, we like this approach.
Well, training camp gets underway tomorrow.
So happy.
And it begins, I think, at 11:30. It is the virtual two-minute drill, which is a very exciting thing. All the guys are doing it from home remotely.
As long as Drake May's the starter, I'm happy with it.
It's really – and then you catch – they do a team run, mental run.
See, I would have been able to play a long time.
And I can't wait. Virtual Mondays with Mayo. He'll do the interviews.
Well, Craig, what are you looking for? Like, what's
Drake May is the only question to me. Like, I mean, Gerard Mayo is – I don't – maybe he's going to be the greatest head coach ever. I suspect Curtis is right. I think his runway is kind of short. His runway is not that short because Robert Kraft has declared him to be the guy.
And right,
so he's going to have to stick with him for a while. But I want to see, like, really, like, Shime has convinced me that Drake May is the next coming. So I
welcome
but even
aboard,
if he's
Greg.
Not good, don't like. Don't you want to? Are you in the camp like me where you want to see Drake May day one, the number one guy getting all the reps, or are you like, ease this guy into a let's see him week six? Where do you like you?
No, I want to ease. I would rather ease him in because I just think it's an awful lot for a rookie with a new head coach.
It's going to be so much fun this year though, because after Shime was needling you with every bad Mac pass,
yes,
you can send the group text whenever May throws a horrible interception.
Well, he fixed the hitch. I mean, that was the key.
No more.
There will
hitches.
Be way more highlights than lowlights. Don't worry.
By the way, what is this Fisher Price set of golf?
Well, those are for James. He's going to be joining me in a bit.
He'll be
playing a little bit. I think he might win. I'm not positive, but I have to start him. There's no way he's going to have athleticism to do any actual sport.
No.
So golf would be an option. My best friend on the planet, his daughter is going to go to college. She's in seventh grade. She's like internationally competing at golf.
Oh,
he has
wow.
turned into Earl Woods because he didn't want to pay for college. And I think I might do the same thing.
But he might go the other way, though, because a lot of great players – their parents, some of them, especially their dads, had no skill.
Right.
So he might go the other way.
No, I have no skill. I TM'd it.
And listeners brought those for James.
No. My dad.
Your dad got it.
Yeah.
So he's got a driver, a putter, and what's the other one?
That is a Diet Coke opener right there. Right. So, no, I don't know. We have a ball marker, I guess, or this is for the tee.
Kind of excessive for your dad to get Titleist irons for James.
Right.
I mean, if you're going to learn to play, might as well learn with the best.
All right. We're at Granite Links. I want to thank everybody who came out. I certainly want to quick note, thank the family of Officer Paul Tracy, who you all raised a lot of money for. He's the fallen Waltham officer, and they brought us some really cool stuff.
Really nice.
And so this is the tournament today benefits the Greg Hill Foundation. You guys certainly have done an awful lot for all of our beneficiaries, including the family of Paul Tracy. So I want to put a quick mention in on that. We're going to take a break. Gresh and Foyer coming up at 10, but we got one more. Who said, oh, my God? Did I just hear, oh, my God? Or am I hearing things?
I heard it, too.
I heard it, too.
Oh.
He said it in a whisper, and it was like a bad mumble.
Tried to say it in your ears quick, and, you know.
I thought I was hearing things.
Yes.
It's like a bad that was geez. Like the porn at the end of the Jackson cut.
It really was. Yes. We do have lunch or dinner to give away at Time Out Market Boston before we go today. So if you are caller number 9 on the contest line, which is 617-931-0937, then you can join in on the festivities as they celebrate their 5-year anniversary at Time Out Market Boston. And I don't know, anybody, I think Wiggy has mentioned this before, maybe it's Shime. The Great British Bake Off
Shime loves that.
Yeah,
great show. That one.
Wiggy is the Great Baked Off.
Do you do you know Ruby Bogle?
Yes.
Okay. She is at Time Out Market this weekend.
Oh wow!
So on the 27th at 3 p.m. So we're gonna hook you up with not only do you get to eat over there, but you get a signed copy of her cookbook, and you get to go to a live Q&A with Ruby. And if you want more details on that, you can just go to timeoutmarketboston.com. We'll be right back.
You know, well, I'm a chicken fried, a cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and a radio.
That's about going to do it.
Gosh.
I mean, 4 hours flew by here at Granite Links in Quincy, the site of the 3rd annual Numbnuts Invitational, which is already underway.
Mm-hmm.
And I see the sun is kind of peeking out. I think we're going to have a great day here.
I agree.
No rain delay. So we don't have to show any old Numbnuts Invitationals while the rain delay is going on.
People are vying for this.
Yes, they are vying for that. There's some breaking Olympic news for Courtney, which is...
Are they pooping in the sun?
No, I'm just going to leave it here. It appears that carrying the Olympic torch for the United States of America in Paris will be Snoop Dogg.
Okay.
The news is just broken, and I'm assuming that torch will be self-lit.
Yeah,
maybe perhaps we'll have some sort of a water filtration system at the bottom of it.
I could use it to light something up.
Courtney, which president famously said the torch has been passed?
to a new generation?
Reagan.
No, no.
Wrong party.
No, wrong, yeah.
Truman.
So I,
still wrong party.
I'm assuming now Snoop Dogg is not, he's not the entire, like, he's just
one of many,
right?
Doing it in St. Denis.
Okay.
The last step before the Eiffel Tower.
Okay.
The best part about this article is this paragraph. The rapper, who is also contributing to NBC's coverage of the games, is better known in the sports world for his Snoop Youth Football League.
Yes.
The championship game is called the Snooper Bowl.
Yes, mm-hmm. It is. That is true. So
yeah, he's been he's been doing that for a long, long time. Yeah. Do they have flag football in this Olympics?
I believe they are.
Okay,
but I think it's exhibition.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, I don't know. Courtney would know better than I would.
Yeah, she's the Olympic person.
She's very into the Olympics.
Do they still have synchronized swimming?
Oh,
That is just a doozy.
I just don't know how you wouldn't like the Olympics, you know?
What is there to watch?
It's people achieving their
dreams.
No, like,
I'm not
like
saying
to see,
that, but what am I looking for?
I'm looking at the gymnastics. Fully.
Okay.
Simone Biles, 27 years old. She's going to be the oldest, I believe, ever to do the gymnastics part of it.
All right.
And it's just, you know, I think it brings people together.
Yeah. I mean, if it's like when Michael Phelps was going for the record, or Michael Johnson was, running with the gold spikes, we went to the Atlanta Games and it was fun, but it was just, I don't know. I feel like it's tough to buy into the sort of peripheral sports that they've put into the Olympics. Everything else is good. You're right. Gymnastics, they do huge numbers.
Huge.
I mean, the ratings will be the highest rated events of the summer.
I'll be looking for Sha'Carri Richardson, see how fast she is.
I mean, and when it comes to America, do we really need to be brought closer together? I feel like we're very together.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
I think nothing could bring us closer together than the firing of the head of the Secret Service, but that's just me.
Right. I think it's interesting that NBC's plan with all the bios is the people's electing record and what party they align with.
All right. Well, we got to get out on the golf course. I want to thank everybody who is participating, everybody who came by this morning to say hello. I want to thank everybody here at Granite Links. They have been extraordinary hosts, not only this year, but for the last couple years, and that whole entire crew. Will O'Connell and Walter and everybody here, they just outdo themselves every year when we do this. And I want to thank our sponsors for the foundation event, and that's Screwball and Aviva Trattoria, Ashworth Awards, Simplicity, the Spa, and Jameson and Granite Links. I mentioned Granite Links already. So the crew, Brooksy and his crew over at Simplicity Medical Spa, also sponsors of this event, making it happen today. All right, we're back tomorrow in the studio at 6. Hit them straight.
All right.
Courtney, what are you planning on shooting today?
I won't be playing a full 18, it doesn't really matter to me.
Were you leaving early?
No, I won't be leaving early, but I mean, I'm going to bop.
Okay, you're bopping.
Yeah.
I like to
bopping.
Yeah.
All right. We are back tomorrow at 6. Gresh and Foyer are next.
You know, well, I'm a chicken fried. A cold beer on a Friday night. A pair of jeans that fit just right, and the radio.
Well, that's about gonna do it.
Gosh.
I mean, 4 hours flew by here at Granite Links in Quincy, the site of the third annual Numbnuts Invitational, which is already underway.
Mm-hmm.
And I see the sun is kind of peeking out. I think we're going to have a great day here.
I agree.
No rain delay.
No rain delay.
So we don't have to show any old Numbnuts Invitationals while the rain delay is going on.
People are vying for this.
Yes, they are, they are vying for that. There's some breaking Olympic news for Courtney, which is...
Are they pooping in the sun?
No, I'm just going to leave it here. It appears that carrying the Olympic torch for the United States of America in Paris will be Snoop Dogg.
Okay.
The news is just broken, and I'm assuming that torch will be self-lit.
Yeah,
maybe perhaps we'll have some sort of a water filtration system at the bottom of it.
I could use it to light something up.
Courtney, which president famously said the torch has been passed
to a new generation?
Reagan.
No.
Wrong party.
No, wrong. Yeah.
Truman.
So
still wrong party.
I'm assuming now Snoop Dogg is not. He's not the entire, like, he's just
one of many,
right?
Doing it in St. Denis.
Okay.
The last step before the Eiffel Tower.
Okay.
The best part about this article is this paragraph. The rapper, who is also contributing to NBC's coverage of the games, is better known in the sports world for his Snoop Youth Football League.
Yes.
The championship game is called the Snooper Bowl.
Yes, mm-hmm. It is. That is true. So
yeah, he's been he's been doing that for a long, long time. Yeah. Are they doing flag football in this Olympics?
I believe they are.
Okay,
but I think it's exhibition.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, I don't know. Courtney would know better than I would.
Yeah, she's the Olympic person.
Yeah, she's very into the Olympics.
Do they still have synchronized swimming?
Oh, yep.
That is just a doozy.
I just don't know how you wouldn't like the Olympics, you know?
What is there to watch?
It's people achieving their
dreams.
No, like,
I'm not saying that, but what am I looking for?
I'm looking at the gymnastics. Fully.
Okay.
Simone Biles, 27 years old. She's going to be the oldest, I believe, ever to do the gymnastics part of it.
All right.
And it's just, you know, I think it brings people together.
Yeah. I mean, if it's like when Michael Phelps was going for the record, or Michael Johnson was running with the gold spikes, we went to the Atlanta Games and it was fun, but it was just, I don't know. I feel like it's tough to buy into the sort of peripheral sports that they've put into the Olympics. Everything else is good. You're right. Gymnastics, they do huge numbers.
Huge.
I mean, the ratings will be the highest rated events of the summer.
I'll be looking for Sha'Carri Richardson to see how fast she is.
I mean, and when it comes to America, do we really need to be brought closer together? I feel like we're very together.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
I think nothing could bring us closer together than the firing of the head of the Secret Service, but that's just me.
Right. I think it's interesting that NBC's plan with all the bios is the people's electing record and what party they align with.
All right. Well, we got to get out on the golf course. I want to thank everybody who is participating, everybody who came by this morning to say hello. Want to thank everybody here at Granite Links. They have been extraordinary hosts, not only this year, but for the last couple years, and that whole entire crew. Will O'Connell and Walter and everybody here, they just outdo themselves every year when we do this. And I want to thank our sponsors for the foundation event, and that's Screwball and Aviva Trattoria, Ashworth Awards, Simplicity, the Spa, and Jameson and Granite Links. I mentioned Granite Links already. So the crew, Brooksy and his crew over at Simplicity Medical Spa, also sponsors of this event, making it happen today. All right, we're back tomorrow in the studio at 6. Hit them straight.
All right.
Courtney, what are you planning on shooting today?
I won't be playing a full 18, it doesn't really matter to me.
Are you leaving early?
No, I won't be leaving early, but I mean, I'm gonna bop.
Okay, you're bopping around.
Yeah.
I like to
bopping.
Yeah.
All right. We are back tomorrow at 6. Gresh and Foyer are next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.